Hey there, it's Greg Lindberg here again with you for episode 6 of the Eyes Free Sports podcast. On this episode, we caught up with a very passionate blind athlete who has primarily played goalball throughout his life. And goalball, to many, is considered the most popular sport for the blind and visually impaired. So, ready, set, listen. All right, so joining me now on the Eyes Free Sports podcast, we have Denzel Fergus. Denzel, thanks so much for doing this for me.
Not a problem, man.
All right, so Denzel is a goalball player, and I definitely want to get into goalball and, you know, the different events you played in, Denzel, and then just your experience with that sport, how you got into it. But let's start off. If you could just give me like a brief bio about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm 28, from the east side of Baltimore City, born and raised, matter of fact. So anything about Baltimore, questions, comments, I can answer all that. That's about it as far as born and raised.
Gotcha.
Baltimore City is the only home.
yeah, very cool. And then as far as your visual impairment, what's your actual condition that you have?
I was born with cataracts from birth, and around about the age of 9, one day in school, I noticed that it was getting hard to, you know, read chalkboards and read textbooks and things like that. When the day before, everything was easy. It was pretty much normal, and everything could, was easy, a normal day. But the next day, like I said, it was blurry, and I basically went home and told my mother that I couldn't, you know, really see, and she thought I was playing because, you know, I was always making jokes or joking around in that manner.
Yep.
So she took me to the doctors, and the doctor basically told her, like, you know, we got two options, either have emergency surgery or, you know, he can go totally blind. So she opted to take the emergency surgery, and they were able to save the left eye and save some vision in the right eye. And the cause of the vision loss is basically retinal detachment from having cataracts.
I see. And what age, how old were you when that happened?
I was 9 years old in the fourth grade. And, I thought everything was normal. I always wore glasses. I think from 5 to 9, I wore glasses. So I thought maybe I was just having, you know, a normal day and trying to do something worse.
And how did you feel when that, when that day happened and all that happened with your eyes?
Honestly, I remember not feeling too sad or too disrupted or anything. Like, I just, you know, I was playing organized football at the time. So I remember the only question I asked the doctor was, would I be able to play football? And his answer was no. That's the only thing I ever cried about in my whole entire life, is that I wasn't going to be able to play football because I had dreams of being a football player.
Yeah.
And so that was about it. Everything else, I just took everything else in stride.
Right.
And I learned how to do, before I learned Braille or even heard of large print or Zoom text or any of the equipment is out, I developed systems to get around the house, get around outside, pick out certain clothes at a very, very young age.
I see, yeah. And then I know you mentioned playing football. Did you play any other sports, you know, while your vision was still pretty good?
Nope.
Just football.
I played football. I didn't have a chance to get into anything else. Now, during the vision loss and before I got into goalball, I did play, you know, backyard sports, the baseball, soccer, football, things like that in schoolyards and stuff like that. I was always good. But because I had a vision loss, I never was given the opportunity to play organized sports in school.
Right, I see. And then talk to me about how you got into, you know, sports for the blind, like goalball, and was it pretty immediate after that happened to you, or did it take some time to kind of figure out what was out there?
Yep, so in 2012-ish, going into 13, I had basically got tired of doing the same thing, and the same thing basically was waking up every day, looking for jobs, taking a daily nap or going to work out outside. I got tired of basically doing that every day. So I said, it has to be something I can devote time to give me, you know, to hold me open. So I found a full-time job or a part-time job. So I started doing some research of sports and things available for blind people. Now, what I found first was interesting, but it wasn't it. It was flag football for the Special Olympics and whatnot. And they said I could play, but there would be some type of waiver I would have to sign and things like that. So I knew right away that wasn't enough. So luckily, in, I want to say March, maybe January of 13, I saw a post about a go-bar clinic here in Baltimore. So I said, cool, you know, I've done it, you know, freestyle. You know, I've played it at camps at Merlin School for the Blind and did demos and things like that, but I never learned it as actually doing it professionally or even picking it up as a hobby. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And I signed up and went to the clinic, and I liked it so much that I came back the next following weekend and practice, and I stuck with it ever since.
Wow. And I'm curious.
You know, it gave me basically that feeling or that passion I was looking for, that basically was the feel a part of a team, accomplish a goal of winning a championship, and giving me the ability to exercise and work out every day. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. So it sounds like as soon as you started playing, it clicked. You knew this is for me. This is, you know, such a cool thing. And
yep, you know, I wasn't as good as those who played at Merlin School for the Blind or had played it elsewhere in the country. I knew right away that I wanted to get better and get on a level where I can find, you know, more opportunities as far as goalball goals.
Exactly. Yeah. And for those out there who don't know about goalball, who aren't familiar, can you just kind of give a brief overview of the rules and how the game actually works?
Yes, so goalball is a sport for blind or visually impaired, blind athletes, of course. It's a game where you use your body to block the ball from going in the goal that's behind you. That's about 30 feet wide, I should say. And you have to serve, underhand serve the ball back to the other team down the court, which is about 60 feet long. And the three people on the court for each side, six players on the team. And you basically have to wear eye shades so that everyone is at a level playing field, no matter the level of sight that you have. Sighted people are allowed to play, but there's special guidelines and rules that each team has to follow.
I see. And then as far as like the goalie, if that's the right term for it, are they also blindfolded?
Well, we really don't have, we basically are our own goalies. So we have to protect our, you know, our gaps and lines, as we call them, just as well as return the ball back to the team on offense. Everybody's on the court is blind, wear eye shades. Now, there are special occasions where a team may patch the whole entire team, but that's only on special occasions or through speculations that a team may be cheating or a certain player may be cheating.
Gotcha, I see. So it's not like, say, hockey or soccer where you do have, like, someone, you know, specifically defending exactly. That goal. All three players basically have to do that.
Their own assignments, own responsibilities, just as well as any other sport.
Gotcha. Very cool.
You know, it's a sport where communication is key. It has to be very, very good chemistry and communication between all six players, all five players, no matter how many players on your team. There has to be good communication between the players to the coaches and everybody else that's involved with the team.
Right. I see. And then this game, it could be played on like a basketball court, basically any kind of standard court.
In my personal opinion, if you can get to a wood floor, that's excellent. So, it gives the ball a smoother floor to go across versus playing on a concrete or a tile floor where it's dangerous for you as the individual as to constantly bang against the floor. And it's very, very brutal for the ball, of course. So, like you said, a basketball court is great.
Yeah. And then how would you describe the actual goal ball itself, the actual ball?
I would say half plastic, half rubber. Some balls have two bells in it. Some balls have one. It depends on where you buy your ball from. I'd say it's about 7 to 8 pounds. It's maybe a little bigger than a basketball.
Right.
I'd say. All depends. Like I said, once again, it depends on where you buy your goal balls from. It's different sizes from different companies and different looks.
Yeah, and then it does have like a bell inside.
Yes. Yep, so that each player can determine and locate where the ball is coming from or going to.
Right, I see. And as far as you playing goal ball, is there like a certain place on the court that you really enjoy playing or where you think you're best at or whatnot?
For me, it's the wing, I feel like I can be more calm, cool, calm, collected on the right wing. I pretty much played all three, but usually in tournament situations or game situations, I'm usually on the right wing, which is where I'm best at. In practice, I usually try to play all three so that, you know, it's best to be as versatile as you can, because you never know when your team might experience an injury or your coach might say, hey, you know, we need you on this side to, you know, perform a certain assignment or task. But for me, you know, I just feel more engaged on the wing. I don't know why. I can't really explain that. I just feel like, you know, that's my little island, and I'm home there.
Yeah. And then as far as the formations of the three players on a team, is it like a triangle, or is it kind of, does each team kind of do their, you know, a different thing?
It can be. All depends on if you have sight as a sighted person or have minimal sight as a visually impaired person. It can look like the players are forming a triangle as they're laying out. It's different formations that can be formed. All depends on what system that you play in. Like here in Maryland, we run a number of different defensive formations as far for the women's team and the men's team. So one moment we might be in the gap defense where the two wings is not really sitting behind the center, but they're like in the two, what we call the two and the four gap. So it might look, we're forming a triangle that way. It's the base three defense where each player just responsible for their particular area of the court. You have the front line defense, which we typically are trying to implement for our women's team, where all three players is lined together on the team line. It's for me formation. I'm designing a few now.
Yeah.
That I would like to put in place or develop. There's so many things you can do. All depends on who you're playing and you know, which you do as a player and a coach.
Right. And then in terms of an actual game, how long is a game? How is it? Is it broken up into halves, quarters? Is there a clock?
Broken up into two halves of 10 minutes in pool play, 12 minutes in the medal rounds. There's a 10-second clock, which means the person that makes contact with the ball, then the team has 10 seconds to get a shot off to the other side of the court. If you don't, return the ball to the other side of the court successfully, then it results in a delayed game penalty. Then the opposite team has a choice to choose out of three players, which one of those players blocks the whole entire court.
And then what are like some typical scores? You know, how many goals or whatever the term is?
1 point for a goal.
1 point.
So it's a game, and then it's a mercy rule, which means if a team is down by 10 goals, then the game is usually called, and it's a mercy rule in effect. So, for example, if the score is 10-0, at any point in the game, the game is stopped. If the score is 12-2, then the game is stopped at any point, and we'll move on to the next game.
Right, I see. And what are like some typical scores of games that you played in?
I've been on the end of a lot of different outcomes. I've been on the mercy side of things. I've been in games where the game has ended 3-2 or 2-4 or 4-5. I've been in games where we've almost touched 20 goals apiece with each team. So I've been
wow.
on the side of very, very number of different scores.
Yeah, I see.
Typically in goal ball, the game isn't designed really to go over, I'll say, about 5 or 6 goals. The elite players, elite teams, they usually don't touch 7 goals or add up to 7 goals.
Right, I see. And then I'm curious about the different teams you played on. I know you mentioned the Maryland Raptors. If you could talk about that team and who you actually play with and kind of how often you play, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. So starting with Maryland First, which is the team that I went to the clinic for, and I've been with the organization since that day from 2012 up until now, 2020. And we've actually come a long way as far as being a team that, in my opinion, you know, we're still learning the game versus now we're a team that's actually starting to put it together and finish games and actually have good outcomes at tournaments. Matter of fact, in Arizona, our men's team just took gold and our women's team took silver, which is our first championship ever as far as the organization goes for the men's side, and the women's would be their first place in the regional in their existence as well.
So wow, that's awesome.
Actually had a great outcome. As far as who I played with Calvin Atkinson, who is the team director / head coach / player of the organization. I played with Shadon Kosh, Terrell Allen, who has a lot of gold ball experience. If I'm remembering correctly, he won a youth nationals bronze medal with Team USA. I played with Forrest Dawes, Harvey Gary, who was a veteran, and has played on a couple USABA vets teams. Quali Ford, Sean Ranson, that's all the men's team right there. And then we have our women's team, which is the Maryland Minx, which consists of Brianna Pumphrey, who was involved in the 25-hour world record game that we had in 2018, along with Father Gary as well. We have Bridget Cassidy, Anaya Richardson, I believe, Nia Peavy, and Brittany Green, who has actually just signed on this year to play with the Maryland Minx, and that's the whole organization right there. As far as other teams I played on, I really played on too many other teams outside of Maryland. I had a few teams in mind that, you know, before I'm done playing, that I wouldn't mind playing for and trying to win a championship with. It is one of those fantasy type things that everybody has. Like, if you just put a team together and play for a group of people and try to win a championship, that's kind of sort of what, you know, I'm thinking about doing before I'm done with playing. You know, as far as teams I played against, let's see, the Delaware Money Men, New Jersey Thunder, DC Eagles, and the DC Revolution, Atlanta Force, BSO Wings. Hope I'm not missing anybody as far as teams I played against. Spin Llamas, who I think really is a really, really great team. They should be around for a very, very long time and be successful. The Winnie City Storm. I played against a lot of teams. Florida United White.
Wow. So it sounds like there are quite a few teams around the country, just in different cities, and yeah.
Yeah. Cool people. In my opinion, personally speaking, outside of just being an athlete in goalball, goalball is very, very fun to watch. And if you actually talk to some of the players and coaches, you will see that everyone has a story and come from very, very unique backgrounds, and they are very, very successful in their personal life. So, you know, if you haven't seen the Gold Ball tournament or even watched it on YouTube, I would check out at least one game or two.
Yeah, very cool. I know it's interesting you say about, you know, different backgrounds, and I've always heard that as far as blindness or being visually impaired, you know, there's so many different forms of it. It's one of those things that, you know, there's a lot of diseases and conditions out there, but blindness, there's like more ways that you can become visually impaired or blind than any other disease, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier in the show, I lost my sight overnight. So for anyone that thinks that, you know, you can't go blind overnight or at a blink of an eye, you can. I'm speaking for probably a number of people who and lost that sight overnight. So it can happen overnight. You don't have to just be born or have a major accident. It can happen overnight.
Very true, yeah. And then just getting back to goalball briefly, what would you say, I'm curious, you know, from an offensive standpoint and then from a defensive standpoint, I know you talked about communication, but what are kind of the best strategies to, you know, actually score a goal and actually defend a goal from being scored on you?
Well, like the NFL, for anyone who watches football, goalball is kind of sort of a copycat league. So whatever they're doing overseas as far as international goalball usually makes it back to the United States. And, you know, those players up there in Fort Wayne that are training for the Paralympics usually play on club level teams as well. So what they usually learn, they usually bring it back to the club level teams, and then teams such as Maryland or any other coach that sees a new thing, they're like, hey, you know, what's that? You know, how can we utilize that and be effective in trying to win or stop teams from scoring? So as far as defense goes, if there's a new formation that's developed and is successful, everybody does it. If there's a new type of ball developed and it's successful, then everyone's using, like, for example, the bounce ball. Maybe a couple years ago, let's say maybe about 10 years ago, no one was really throwing bounces in the United States, and I don't even think that the United States level were utilizing the bounce ball as much. But I believe one year during the Paralympic tournament, Team USA had a kind of sort of a run-in with a team that used the bounce ball a lot. So now, you know, they were like, okay, well, you know, we can't get beat on bounce balls or bouncy balls, so we'll go back and work on defending, and not only defending, we'll throw them. So now everybody that's either in the United States that plays for a club team or on the Paralympic team throws a bounce ball. I just developed mine maybe about a year, and it still isn't where I want it to be, but it's getting there. So if you can add things to your game defensively and offensively, you're going to have a better advantage, especially over someone who just learned the sport, in the middle of the sport, or, you know, doesn't know what's really going on as far as what a team's learning.
Right. And then as far as practice goes, I mean, can you practice, you know, on your own? Are there things you can do to work on your craft?
Personally, you can. Speaking personally, if you can practice on your own, I would definitely recommend it as far as, you know, always working on your shot as far as speed, power, and accuracy. That's always a good thing to work on. Defensively, always polishing your defensive technique. And that means basically just doing some, you know, ready positions, getting yourself ready to block the ball, actually sliding out in the formation to block the ball. Just consistently practice your craft, I would say, by yourself as much as you can. You know, you only can do so much when you're by yourself or when you're limited as far as gyms and space. So if you can practice by yourself, consistently do it, I would say, as much as you can. Now, as far as practicing as a team, here in Maryland, we practice 2 days a week, which is Wednesday and Saturday, all year round. So we have a really, really great opportunity to practice, like I said, 2 days out of the week, all year round. I don't think most teams in the United States practice for more than a day a week, or maybe they may practice every other month, and then maybe like 1 day out of that month or 2 days out of that month. So we practice a lot of things. We practice accuracy, like I said. We practice chase drills, passing the ball, defensive technique. We may even do some game time situations as far as being up a point, being down a point, blocking penalty shots, overtime, extra throws. We try to get as much as the rule book discussed, performed, and understood as possible.
Gotcha. And then as far as, you know, ages of the players, is it a pretty big age range of players that you played with and against?
On my team, I'll say I'm probably about the third oldest on the team. And then the age gap on the men's team, I say it's about 5 or 6 years between all of us, maybe.
Oh, I think
the youngest person I played with probably was 19, and the oldest being 50 plus.
Oh, really?
So we all treat each other, you know, as one. You know, there's no age difference, there's no anarchy involved. It's, everybody has a say-so. I mean, it's like being in a, you know, a family. Right? All families fight and have disagreements. You know, this is what has been on the sports team, but at the end of the day, we are share the same goal, and that's being the best and trying to win as many tournaments and championships as we can. On the women's team, they're probably close in age. I can't remember all the ages on the women's team, but they're pretty close in age. And it's the same goal for them. You know, let's be the best that we can be. Let's win as many tournaments and championships as we can. And as being the men, you know, they're like our little sister. So we basically help them achieve their goal just as well as they help us achieve our goals.
Yeah, very well said. And can you talk about, you know, the connections you've made, the friendships you've made, just how, you know, from like a personal standpoint, how has Goal Ball, you know, benefited you in your life?
Goal Ball has, like I tell people, Goal Ball has changed my life dramatically. Like, I've really matured, seen, overcome a lot of things through Goal Ball, whether it's going through depression, not feeling, I guess you can say, wanted, or like I belong to someone, something, or, you know, something special, not being treated fairly, being misunderstood. Goal Ball has changed all that because it's challenging. You get to meet a whole lot of people from a lot of different cities and states that share the same similarities as you as far as blindness or hobbies or certain goals that you have. In life, I haven't met everyone in the Goal Ball community, but it's on my list to meet as many people as I can. Some of the people that I'm friends with in the Goal Ball community I've grew up with through different things, through the National Federation of the Blind, who I went to school with. So as far as socially, it's a really, really good sport to get into. Like I said, the atmosphere is just like being at a football game. You know, you have your hecklers, you have your fans of certain teams, you have your not so much of a fan of a certain team. It's everything is mixed in the Goal Ball. Whether you are a representative of the team or you're an athlete, you'll find someone to connect with. Me personally, I think I try to meet, talk to, and hang out with as many people as I can.
Nice. Yeah. I know you and I connected through the USA Goal Ball Facebook group, and that seems like a pretty cool platform also to connect with people.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great way to stay in contact with the directors of certain tournaments, certain officials, certain Paralympic athletes, certain coaches in the Goal Ball community. That's a great way to basically know what's going on, where is it going on, and how is it going on.
And just to wrap up here, can you talk about your goals within Goal Ball? Are there certain things that you'd still like to achieve as a Goal Ball player?
As a Goal Ball player, certain goals I want to achieve would basically be trying to get to the Paralympic level. As far as maybe, to be honest, even if I don't make a team as far as playing, you know, in the Paralympics, just to get the training would be enough for me, because then, like I said earlier in the show, that a lot of people go to the next level and they bring it back to their club level team or that organization, and then they'll be able to teach their teammates how they did it at the next level so that each player in the organization can be a better player. So my goal is basically to, like I said, attain the Paralympic level to basically get better in skills, better knowledge of the game that's going on internationally. I have coaching goals, of course. I would like to basically start my own Goal Ball organization one day, or coach in a organization one day. And that's basically it as far as a player.
Nice. Very cool. All right. Well, I want to thank you, Denzel, for joining us here on Eyes Free Sports. Really appreciate your time and the insight on Goal Ball, which I know is widely considered, you know, the most popular sport for the blind.
Yes, it is. And I appreciate you giving me the time to voice my opinion about the sport. Like I mentioned before, I'm really, really passionate about the sport. I believe it can change a lot of people's minds about blind people through Goal Ball. It's so much, man. Like I said, if we can do it again, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd love to have you on again. Alrighty, thanks again, Denzel. Really appreciate it.
Thanks again.
Be sure to follow the Eyes Free Sports podcast at facebook.com/eyesfreesports and on Twitter @eyesfreesports.